Welcome, welcome everyone to this episode, this special episode of the Women Excelling Everywhere podcast. I am here with the wonderful Linda Rogers, author, speaker, and co-author of the Women Excelling Everywhere book. Linda, welcome to the podcast.
Julie, thank you so much for having me on this show. I am so excited to be here. And I just want to start by thanking you. I want to thank you for spearheading the Women Excelling Everywhere project. It is a real privilege to be part of this great work. So thank you so much.
Oh, and thank you for being a part. I'm honored for you and all of the co-authors sharing their wisdom. It's going to be amazing. Absolutely. It is an amazing project. And I can't wait for everyone to be able to order it and read it. Now, I want to help everyone get to know Linda a little bit more. I am going to start by reading her professional bio, and then we'll get to know the real Linda. All right. So Linda Rogers is an avid explorer of the human psyche, proudly wears many hats as an author, a speaker, and an educator for over 30 years in the education sector. She is a resilient trauma survivor. She's not just a change maker, but a believer in the transformative power of thought on both physical and mental, or the physical and emotional healing. In her quest for understanding, Linda dives into the realms of quantum physics, epigenetics, weaving the narrative around the innate potential to heal ourselves. An open-minded, logical thinker, she balances her earthly wisdom with a spiritual connection, blending the best of both worlds. I love that. Canadian born and calling a small town near the picturesque wine region of Niagara her home, Linda embraces the serenity of nature, walks along the Bruce Trail and Niagara Escarpment.
Yes.
Which I can't wait to visit you one of these days. When not indulging in the guilty pleasure of the Netflix binging like so many of us do, right? As a mother of two, she uses her craft not only to mend emotional wounds, but also sprinkles her journey with hilarious dad jokes, even though her children often roll their eyes at her. I've been there. And her quirky sense of humor. Linda is a storyteller, a soulful wanderer, and a true enthusiast of the human spirit. So once again, Linda, welcome. Welcome to the Women Excelling Everywhere podcast today.
I am thrilled to be here. I can't wait for this book to come out. It's going to be amazing. I get so excited every time I just think about it.
Oh, I'm so glad. I do too. I'm kind of at that like pinch me stage. It's like, this has been such a project that for so many years that I wanted to see come to fruition. And it's coming just a couple of weeks less, actually a week away, just a little over a week away.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Where does time go?
I know. So we're very excited about that. And I want for the readers to be able to get to know all of you, as well as anyone who's hearing this podcast, because you follow the channel, you know, it'll give you inspiration to go, or the, you know, help you to think, okay, I think I want to go meet these ladies and read their chapters. So we read a little bit about where you are at and what you do and what you like. But I always like to ask people a kind of a little bit of their background. Like, I like to take them back to where did they grow up, and what inspired them to go into the career or the field that they're in. So like education, it's a hard job, and it's not always acknowledged as how difficult it is, but it's such a necessary job, the education system. So tell us about Linda. Where did you grow up, and what made you want to become an educator?
Well, I grew up in a small town in southern Ontario, Canada, and it's the town of Welland. It's located 20 minutes from Niagara Falls. And growing up, I lived in a particular part of the city that is known as Frenchtown. My parents were both born in the province of Quebec, and they blessed me with the gift of a second language. So as a result, I'm fluent in Canada's both official languages, French and English. In terms of career path, I am currently wearing two hats. By day, I support elementary school students with special needs. And during off hours, I'm an author and speaker, and I focus on mental health and trauma and overcoming limiting beliefs and the power of thought to heal both physical and emotional pain. In both instances, it's my desire to support growth and development that drives me to pursue those vocations.
I love that. And you're, when I spoke educator, we take it to an even higher level when you say that you're an educator of those with special needs. So you have seen and work with on a day-to-day basis individuals who have dealt with some of those emotional or mental issues that has probably, did that make you curious about or help you on that journey of the mind and the brain and the healing and all of that?
Absolutely. I mean, I work with most of the children that I work with are neurodivergent. And so there could be any variance of difficulty level that they're experiencing. And seeing their struggles, seeing what they're going through, it really inspired me to want to learn more about how our brain functions and how our thought processes affect the way we interact with other people and in the world in general.
Yeah, and you've seen I've noticed with it's I interesting because I just recently, just a couple of weeks ago, I did a presentation. The school hired me down in Central California to do a presentation for their charter program, which included a lot of homeschool families. And one of the it was so touching to me because afterwards, a couple of the students came up to me, teenagers that were in the room, because it was adults as well as teenagers. And they came up to me afterwards. And the one was just like, I can't believe that she's neurodivergent. And she has struggled with that label, with just the challenges that that puts on her and her self-esteem because of it. So I would assume that you've also, like for her, it was so freeing and it just made her feel so good about herself to be able to know that just because she was under that label of neurodivergent, it didn't mean bad, worse, good, otherwise, right? It just meant, okay, this is just who you are. It's the way your brain's wired.
Exactly.
Love yourself. Like, have you seen your students struggle with that self-esteem issues over the years?
I certainly have, but I would like to speak to the fact that I have a daughter who is neurodivergent as well. She's an adult now and she lives with me. But growing up, I was able to experience it from different perspectives. Of course, I was experiencing it in the school system, working with students who have many different ways of learning and living. But then when I brought this little one into my world, who had her own way of doing things, and I had to relearn how to be a parent, you know, because you have that. When you bring a child into the world, you have this idea of what parenthood is going to be like, and how you create this idea of who your child is going to be. And then when you figure out that things aren't exactly the way you thought, you go
Yep.
through this whole process of relearning, okay, now what? And so
Yeah.
I think having had the experience of being a mother of a child who has special needs, it really enabled me to connect with the parents of the students that I work with because I understand that I have their kids for 6 hours of the day and they have their kids for the rest of the time. And it's hard raising children who have special needs because their needs often surpass our ability to understand, especially when they're having those breakdown moments and you just want to connect, you just want to hold them, you just want to make them feel like they belong, like and when they're crying and saying, Mama, it's not working out at school. I have no friends and nobody wants to talk to me. It just wants to break your heart. So, you know, I'm on the schoolyard. I have my eyes and ears open for the little ones who are on their own, who don't have anyone to connect with. And we're going to get them and helping them to make connections with other students. Because isn't it all about connection, right? Everything we do
Yes.
in our lives, it's all about connecting to people.
For sure. Absolutely. And when you can make those connections, positive ones, you know, every little reassurance. And one of the things that I will often tell my clients that I'm working with who are trying to get past, you know, blocks in their life, I tell them they have to, you know, they have to do some research on their own past and their life growing up. And I tell them there's nothing more damaging to an individual's self-esteem or feeling of self-worth than the insignificant things said to them by significant people in their lives. And teachers, I just applaud you for having this passion for that, because you can also say that some of the most significant positive experiences are by the significant people in your life. So by you providing that for these kids, based on your own experience and knowing what it's like raising a child, neurodivergent child, you're able to, you know, give them that extra little boost of confidence and self build their self-esteem a little bit. It's just absolutely wonderful. I love
Thank
that you're
you.
doing that. Yeah. So now can you share, is there a particular moment in your life that was like, it was a pivotal moment, it was a turning point, it was that aha moment that really affected your life moving forward?
Yeah, for sure. For me, the most significant turning point unfolded about a year before the whole pandemic chaos happened. I had a lot going on and I was really struggling in every area of my life. And I remember this moment so clearly. I was coming home from an appointment and I was taking the long way home. I was too upset and I wasn't ready to head back. And I'm sure some of your listeners can relate. You know, you just need a minute of peace. Well, my car was my refuge from problems of work and home. And it was the only time I could be alone with my thoughts and feelings. And on that particular day, I'd been crying again, as I had been many times during that period in my life. And so much so that I couldn't even see through my tears and I had to pull the car over. And I was trying to calm myself, but I just couldn't get a grip. I was overwhelmed and stressed out and sad and angry and anxious. I mean, you name it. I had the whole rainbow of emotions going on and I was trying to catch my breath. And then something inside me just said, enough is enough. You know, it's time that I face my truth and I finally get the help I need to deal with the trauma of my past. So I gathered up my courage and I called the sexual assault helpline right there on the side of the road. And I asked to speak with a therapist and I was put on hold and I waited alone in my car. I was scared, but I was hopeful. But then when the voice at the other end of the line finally returned, the reply I received just about undid me. There I was feeling lower than ever. And then I was finally finding the strength to reach out. And I was told that there was a wait list.
Oh no.
And the timeline was more than 1 year.
Oh,
I was devastated,
oh.
Right? I was devastated. And like, I was finally ready to get to the heart of the matter. And then I was told I had to wait. And in that moment, I learned that there was actually a place that was even lower than rock bottom because I was there.
Oh,
I
no.
I put my name on the wait list anyway, but then I was filled with this rebellious thought. I thought, like hell am I going to wait around for someone to come and rescue me? So while I waited to receive counseling services, I embarked on a spiritual healing journey that really gradually shifted my whole life. So I studied my brain and my body like it was my job. And yeah. I wanted to understand my experience holistically, like in a science meets spirituality kind of way. And that eventually led me to write a book because I wanted to share what I'd learned about our innate ability to heal ourselves. I thought that was super important. It was a message that I needed to get across.
Yeah. So this obviously was one of the challenges or issues that you had to overcome. Now, if you were going through, anyone who's listening, by the way, this is a really good point for me to insert this. If you are in pain, if you are experiencing those PTSD moments or complex PTSD, or you're feeling that you have something you need to get off your chest or get out of your brain or release those emotions, then I encourage you, Linda, encourage you, we encourage you to reach out for help. By all means, do not put it off. Do not feel you have to deal with this on your own, right? There are services. And even if you have to go through what Linda did, right there, that there are lots of people to reach out for. So I'm encouraging the listeners to reach out if that's something that they need to do too, because you don't want to be miserable and you don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be. But now I'm sure that it wasn't like this smooth sailing, because when you go deep, when you start walking through that past history, the family of origin work, and you're really digging and trying to confront that trauma and emotionally come to grips with that, there's always going to be setbacks, you know, moments where you feel like, okay, I just made 5 steps forward. Well, wait a minute. I feel like I just made 10 steps back the next day. So were there any of those times for you that played a crucial role in your personal development?
For sure. I mean, life is not perfect, right? There are always going to be ups and downs. For example, I sat on that wait list for 1 year and 2 months before I was finally able to access trauma therapy. And that started in February of 2020. But my treatment was short-lived because about 1 month later, the whole darn world shut down.
Talk about a setback.
No kidding. And I could have thrown the towel in right then and there. But once again, I didn't let that get in my way because my healing was important to me. So I found other ways to access information that would help me in my healing journey. And one of the beautiful things that occurred during the pandemic was the overabundance of free and paid online personal development courses. There was a ton of content out there. Everybody was offering something, and I devoured as many as I could. And one of the most crucial understandings I gained from that knowledge was that you can't just wish for things to change. And having a desire to change is not enough to guarantee results. You have to take consistent, repeated action, and it moves you in the direction of your goals. I mean, change is hard and it sucks a lot of the time, and you want to give up just about every day. But if you stay focused on your goal, and here's the part that's really important, you have to celebrate all the little victories along the way.
Yes,
And
yes,
then
yes.
little by little, you shift your perspective. And then one day you look back on all those tough days and you say, you know what? It was worth it. I'm glad I stayed the course.
Totally agree with you on that. I tell people every night you celebrate every little win. Like if you picked up the phone but didn't actually make the phone call, that's okay. You picked up the phone. Like every little win, no matter how small you feel it is, you have to start training your brain to focus on that. Right. And the only way to do that is to tell it that was amazing and let it know that you are proud of yourself for doing that one little thing. So I absolutely agree 100%. 100%. Now, you obviously had to develop a lot of resilience and determination through this time because you were going through this huge stuff and this deep stuff, not like just superficial, like this was deep stuff for you to go through this, pretty much isolated a lot on your own because you were doing it there. How did that, build your resilience or your determination to reach your goals of having a healthy mind?
I gotta be honest, the word resilience used to really tick me off. It was the whole
Okay.
concept of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah.
And to me, that felt like a false promise, especially after all that I'd been through. You remember that day I was telling you I was taking the long way home? Well, I had reached a breaking point. My marriage had broken down. My personal identity was stolen. My daughter was diagnosed with a rare heart condition. And then I was hit with my own health crisis that landed me in the care of a nearest cancer treatment center. So, I mean, with all those things happening in my life, it's no wonder I found myself in the middle of a mental health crisis.
Sure.
And during that time, I learned the importance of self-care. And I was able to rediscover who is Linda? What matters to her? What ignites passion and excitement? And that's when I began to write and speak about stress, trauma, and the power of belief to shape our lives. And another thing I learned is that, after all that I thought about resilience in the beginning, I learned that it's not about how many times you can pick yourself up. It's more about how long it takes you to move through the hardships. Because we don't always get to decide what we experience in life, right? But
Very
we
true.
do get to choose how long we let it influence our reality. Now, that
Yes.
doesn't mean we ignore our pain. We still have to allow ourselves to feel all those emotions, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of them. But we don't just sit in them any longer than we have to. Because
Yeah.
the longer we sit in our pain, the longer we hold on to anger or resentment, the longer we prolong our suffering.
Yeah. And there's, and you can't bury it either. You have to do that addressing, and it is okay to be, as you said, on the side of the road crying so hard that you can't see through your tears. It's okay to have those moments. There's nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, oftentimes those emotional, releasing that emotion through crying is cathartic for the brain. Like it's better to get it out than it is to constantly swallow that lump in your throat and push it back down, because it eventually will come out, and it'll come out as an anger explosion. It'll come out, you know, at the most inopportune time.
Yeah.
So,
and isn't that how our bodies process the hormones of stress, right? It leaves our body through our tears and through our sweat and through our urine and our breath. And so crying is actually a really good thing to help you process all that stress and trauma and get it out of your body, get it out of your system. And, you know, like I say, it comes out through your breath. So having good old rant session with your girlfriends is great, not only to get it out of your mind, but also to process it and get it out of your body.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And then to begin to let it go, which isn't always the easiest thing to do. Letting it go is tough. Yeah. And I don't know how you feel about this, but again, one of the things that is really good to do is understand that the more you sit in that, the more damage you're doing to your entire body, to your health. When you understand the stress response in the brain and what that does to and how the amygdala takes over and slows to a crawl your immune system, slows to a crawl your digestive issues. So most people who've had trauma in their life or are highly stressed have chronic digestive issues. Like, they go hand in hand, and it's because the neurons are talking to each other, right? And there's so many neurons in your gut. So keeping in mind that, go ahead and release that emotion and understand that it, when you release it, don't reach out there and grab it and bring it back.
So true.
You know? Don't go, oh, okay, I'm going to let it go, and then I'm going to bring it right back in, because then that you're just perpetuating that damaging process within your body. So tell us how you then, because obviously you had those health challenges and doing the self-care helped with that. What are a couple of the day-to-day routines or week-to-week routines that you really believe are going to help people to really heal, really get their brain to heal their body?
From my own perspective, having experienced trauma, it created this whole system of limiting beliefs that I acquired about myself. All these experiences I had of abusers in my life, including teachers, ironically, who were not living up to their standard. But anyway, that's in the book. I'm not going to tell you about that part because I want you to read it.
Right.
But, so when we acquire these limiting beliefs, sometimes they're in the subconscious and we're not even aware that they're there. They just sit there kind of in the background, running as this ongoing program that is telling us that we're not good enough. We'll never live up to what our mother wants for us, or whatever it is, the limiting belief that we acquire. You'll never be healthy. You'll never be wealthy. So for me, there were two things that I did very consistently that I found helpful. One is I surrounded myself with words of affirmation. And if you walk into my home, you will find them all over the place. They are in the bathroom. So then when I wake up in the morning, it's the first thing I read. They are by my bedside, on my night table, so that when I go to bed at night, it is the last thing I read. I have Post-its on my computer, on my refrigerator. I have framed expressions and sayings and quotes all over the place, because for me, I needed to read it and say it in order for me to eventually be able to internalize it as, maybe it is true. Maybe I am worthy. Maybe I am more special than I think I am. So that was rule number one for me in terms of get over all those limiting beliefs. And the second that I used was meditation and self-hypnosis. And those I do at critical times during the day. There are two periods in the day when our brains are most susceptible. They're in that theta brainwave state, and that is when we wake up in the morning and just before we drift off to sleep at night. And so I was listening to meditations that would be, for example, helping me with my self-esteem or helping me with my health. I mean, you can go on YouTube and literally Google anything you want to work on, any limiting belief, and it'll populate any kind of meditation that you're looking for. And then I would just put them in my ear pods, listen to those before I go to bed at night or in the morning, and I still do it. So it's been like a few years that I've been working on this, and I still do it because it's so beneficial.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to emphasize too that it is a multi-prong approach, right? I think that it's not, I've talked to people in the past where they're like, I get so frustrated because I repeat the affirmations in the mirror out loud every single day and it just doesn't get me. The brain's a funny thing. And if there's a Grand Canyon connection in your brain to something negative, right, it's that strong, it's that deep, as if it were the Grand Canyon, or as deep as Niagara Falls, right? Like if it's that deep, doing one approach isn't enough. You have to take this multi approach. So with that, as we're kind of bringing this all together, a lot of that information, I am sure, is in the chapter. So you kind of gave us a little preview of the chapter. What was your reason? Like, why were you drawn to or attracted to becoming a co-author in the Women Excelling Everywhere book?
Well, the whole concept of an inspirational book written by women for women was a big draw for me. When I began my healing journey, I made a promise to myself. I vowed that all my suffering would serve a purpose. So now I want to share my stories in the hope of inspiring other women to persevere and not be afraid to want more. And being a part of this collaborative book with all the other incredible authors is a real privilege, and I'm exceedingly grateful for that.
I think it's I can't wait to read. I've gotten to read a few of the chapters, but I haven't gotten to read all the chapters, right? So I am so much looking forward to reading the entire book as a whole from cover to cover. With that, what impact do you hope that this book and your story is going to have on the women who read it?
Well, we all have a story. We have all been through stuff. And if the stories contained within this book helps just one woman find the courage to keep going for just one more day, then my hope for this book will have been realized.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That should be on the back of the book. I love that. That is absolutely beautiful. Linda, thank you so much. Again, thank you for being in the book. Thank you so very much for being on the podcast today and for all of the work that it is that you do. You are a gem, and I can't wait to see the great things that you're going to do moving forward.
Thank you so much, Julie. It was a pleasure speaking with you today. I hope that we can continue working together. You are incredible. You are the type of person who just brings people together and makes stuff happen. And we need more Julies in the world. So thank you for being you.
You are so sweet. So now, if the listeners want to, obviously you'll be able to go on February 23rd and order the book directly off of Amazon. And needless to say, just keep contact with us on social media. You will be seeing it all over the place that day. But if somebody says, you know what, I really want to get to know Linda better, how can they reach you directly?
Well, they can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at linda.rogers.author, or they can visit my website where they will find links to other books that I've written and co-authored at lindarogersauthor at squarespace.com.
I love it. I love it. All right. Thank you once again so much for being on the show today and sharing your story.
Oh, thanks for having me, Julie. Let's keep this thing going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is going to be powerful. And we will be keeping it going because we're going to be having a summit. So all of you listeners, just keep your ear out for the summit. The books first, but then we've got this amazing summit coming. And for those of you who want to stay connected with Women Excelling Everywhere, please go to our website, womenexcellingeverywhere.com. If you have a question, right? Or if you're like listening to this podcast and it's 3 weeks from now and it's past the launch date and you missed it or anything, just send us an email, info@womenexcellingeverywhere.com. com, and we'll be sure to connect you. If you have questions about anything that we share here in the upcoming book or here on the podcast, please, my team and I will definitely get back to you right away at info@womenexcellingeverywhere.com. And that goes the same for any of you who are struggling through something right now. We'll make sure you get the resources that you need. We will help you do that for sure. Absolutely. So reach out to us, info@womenexcellingeverywhere.com, from our heart to yours. All right. And as I like to wrap up every one of my podcasts, I want everybody to take a nice deep breath in, roll those shoulders back, and go out there and enjoy every moment. Until next time.